I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Syria. Syria is a civil war. It's also an anarchy, and it's a threat to the whole of the Middle East, the whole of the Eastern Mediterranean. Right now, the Syrian civil war involves two nuclear-tipped states, Russia and the United States, along with our very watchful and concerned ally, Israel. In the region, Turkey is involved in combat operations inside Syria. That's a member of NATO. Russia, of course, not a member of NATO, is involved and has been for 2 years now with high-performance aircraft as well as a first-rate, the best in the world, anti-air defense system. What does the future of Syria look like? This comes up fresh because within these last days there have been controversy about what the Trump administration intends. Is it in Syria against ISIS? Is it in Syria to stabilize? Is it in Syria as a presence for NATO, for Israel, for our allies? And what would Syria look like if, and this is an if, because there is no definitive statement now that this is going to happen. What would it look like if the U.S. leaves Syria, even its small footprint that's been successful in driving the last of ISIS out of a town called Raqqa? Matt Brodsky, the senior fellow at Security Studies Group, is here because he's writing most recently at the National Review Online about what this Syria would look like absent the U.S. Matt, a very good evening to you. All right, it's the day after the U.S. forces have left Syria. What happens now? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. This would be a very bad situation for the United States on multiple levels, and in different regions of Syria, something would happen. In the southwest, have Iran continue to encroach and to build up military infrastructure so that it could extend the line from Lebanon into toward the Golan Heights to face off against Israel and against Jordan. In the north, you would have Turkey making further encroachments to deal with the Kurds, who, of course, they hate. Where we are currently positioned in eastern Syria, we are over a lot of where the oil wealth is located. If we left, you would have Syria and Iran, the whole axis, able to take that over. And then with that money, they're then able to reconstruct Syria. But, of course, they would only be doing that with the allies that they have while continuing to starve their own people. In essence, what we would have done is that the entire American presence there would have basically been to fight then on behalf of the Assad regime, because the Assad regime in Iran will end up taking that over. That is obviously, to me, not in America's interest.
The Iran regime is allied with Russia at this point. In fact, in these last hours, we're told that the presidents of Russia, that would be Vladimir Putin, the president of Turkey, a very powerful Mr. Erdogan, Recep Erdogan, and the president of Iran, Rouhani, met in Turkey to discuss, and we can believe on the agenda was the future of Syria. That conversation, what would Syria then look like without the United States? Are they dividing up the pie?
They would to some degree, but Assad and Iran would get a far bigger piece of the pie, because Iran's ground forces, really, they're the ones who are securing not only the Assad regime, he would fall without them, but it secures Russia's their bases, the Khmeimim air base that it has, the naval base in Tartus. Russia has greatly expanded these, but it's not going to be able to hold them against even a smaller opposition without the Iranian forces there. So what they're looking for immediately is to get rid of the United States. That would be issue number one. And the deconfliction arrangements, which those three countries have been systematically violating, whether you're talking Turkey with Afrin, or you're talking about southern Syria near the Jordanian border, or, of course, East Ghouta, they would continue to violate those and use it to take more territory. So in the end, you're going to end up with having a more or less partitioned federative structure in Syria, but over time, without the United States, Assad and Iran would be able to take all of that over. And the implications for the United States are very bad, because at the same time, we're apparently looking at getting out of the nuclear deal. And if we're getting out of the nuclear deal, which is fine and reasonable, we need to have a lot of plans ready for what we're going to do next. And what we would be doing on the ground in Syria then, unfortunately, would be to be boosting their military capabilities and making it harder for us.
The puzzle here then is right now, without leaving Syria, are we stopping all that from happening? I believe the deployment there, I've never seen a large number, maybe 2,000, maybe less than 1,000. And, of course, American air power is available, but still forces on the ground. So isn't all that happening anyway, Matt, whether we're there or not?
This is where you touch on the brilliance of the entire plan, is that we are not, by any stretch of the imagination, overcommitted in Syria. We have some 2,000 troops that we're publicly aware of there. Look at what Russia has accomplished since September 2015, when they really got involved seriously in the war. They have done a lot with very little. Of course, they don't have any rules of engagement that they need to worry about. They'll bomb anything. But the United States, when we in February decided to push back against an encroachment led by the IRGC in eastern Syria and with Russian mercenaries, from what we understand, that was really quick work with our Air Force and our ground troops, mostly the Syrian Democratic Forces that we've been supporting. So we are able to accomplish a lot with a little. The interesting part here, though, is that right now we are still focusing exclusively, according to the Pentagon, on anti-ISIS campaign. Whereas from my perspective, the bigger strategic goal and objective for us should be preventing Iran from making gains. And we can do both at the same time. And in fact, that is what we should have been doing the whole time, because to weaken one strengthens the other. So you have to have a policy that's working on both. But to answer your question specifically, yes, we can accomplish that with what we have and a little more. There are just a few extra steps we can take, but we're not talking about, you know, an invasion into Iraq the way 2003 happened. And more importantly, this isn't a Colin Powell Pottery Barn rules situation where if you break it, you own it. The world is aware Syria is broken, but we need to take care of our own strategic interests here.
Last thought, NATO, that's Turkey. Turkey's a NATO member. It's involved in ground combat operations in Syria. Is that a hostile force to us, to our forces in Syria? Are we watching the first dispute between NATO countries with weapons?
Yeah, this is getting very close to it. There are a lot of red lines that our military has made in the toward Afrin and up in the Kurdish territories. Turkey has absolutely not been acting as an ally at all for many years and for many reasons, and that's a long topic to get in with. But I think most importantly, the United States needs to understand that we have to tread carefully with our Kurdish allies, because we can't sell them out. That would be really that would be a horrible situation for how our allies around the world would look at us. But at the same time, Turkey, just by dint of geography, has a very large role to play. And they can simply play spoiler and make things difficult for us. So it is a balancing act. But that is something that we absolutely need to figure out which way we're going to lean, and then make a plan in that direction. Because just giving generals the order to destroy ISIS, they're not necessarily going to take all of those aspects into account, and we really need to.
Matt Brodsky, a senior fellow at the Security Studies Group, writing most recently the National Review Online. I'm John Batchelor.